the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Today, salvation has come to this house. It's not simply a statement offered by our divine Redeemer at the end of today's gospel reading. It is the reality of why the Spirit of God has guided us to come around the altar of grace this morning. Today, salvation has come to this house, and salvation is Jesus. Jesus in the flesh. His name means salvation, and his fame of salvation is one known particularly poignantly to those who missed the mark, those who were sinners, those of small stature who might have heard a rumor that possibly salvation could be coming, but I'm just too short to see it. Short, perhaps, in the size of his calves and his thighs, short, perhaps, in his torso, but more aptly, short in his own myopic short-sightedness. As he found himself scrolling along on his own social media devices, recognizing he had no friends. It was more like non-social media. When you're that rich, when you're that famous, who needs friends? Well, perhaps. And maybe that's why, in his short stature, all those pious parade attenders didn't even bother to move out of the way and let him get a closer look. Let him get a better view. Oh, before we quickly relegate these unnamed characters, let us be certain and sure that Zacchaeus, as a chief tax collector, Zacchaeus as a wealthy tax collector, and Zacchaeus as a short tax collector, was known by many people and probably closed off from benefiting from the gaze at the one who would allow the word to come into his heart. Today, salvation has come to this house. And so what is a guy like that to do? What does one do when one is so short in stature, or so short in regard socially, or so short in one's vision, or so captivated and incarcerated and petrified and ossified in sin that clings so closely? What is one to do but attempt to get in front of Jesus? Well, if you can't be Jesus, you might as well at least outrun Jesus. Well, suffice it to say, his attempts at climbing the social ladder were echoed at his attempt to climb a sycamore tree. And as he did, his plan was simple. Climb the tree, the three flights of steps that it takes, and maybe at the top of that tree might be 18 beautiful bells in that belfry. And maybe from that view, life looks different. Maybe from there, even when steeples elsewhere are falling, and even as crumbled have spires in every land, maybe bells, hallelujah, are still chiming and calling. Calling the young and old and rich and short to rest. Don't think for a moment, Zach, that he's just somebody else's savior. He is our savior. Amen. Our savior. Climbing the tree, thinking that he might have gotten ahead of Jesus the way we often think we can. He realized that Jesus was way ahead of him, who with eagle eye precision spots this dude up a tree, knowing full well that Zacchaeus' place was not up on the tree. Jesus' place is. And he would come to climb the tree of the cross to declare to a thief on his side just what he intended to declare to a Zacchaeus whose life had been changed today. Today. Today, salvation has come to this house. Zacchaeus, come on down, because I'm on my way up to your house. I hope you vacuumed. I don't mind dirty dishes, and I'm a specialist at dirty laundry. And there, Jesus, the one who cannot be gotten ahead of, invites himself into Zacchaeus' short-sighted, myopic, worry-filled world. And amidst all the bad press of those around who said, "How dare he eat with a sinner?" The response by those who ate that night was crystal clear. "How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord God Almighty." For God does not need temples made of brick and mortar, but he chooses to visit them. Hallelujah. He chooses to come to them because he knows us, he knows our frame, and he knows that we often need sycamore trees where we can climb and see the world differently. And gaze on to the countenance of the one whose face promises to shine on us in the midst of our own inner battles, in the midst of our greed and selfishness, in the midst of our asocial behavior. Zacchaeus stood in resurrection power and proclaimed after Jesus the Word encountered him, "Half of what I have, I'll give to the poor. And anybody I owe, I'll pay him four times as much." You know what that meant? He stole a lot of stuff. Wow. I mean, if you had enough money for milk and juice after that, he stole a lot of stuff, and yet he had that much to be able to give and to share. That much to be able to declare. And that much to make the world aware that he is not just their savior or a savior. He is our savior. And he makes himself the very gate of heaven. Here stands the font before our eyes. The altar recalls Christ's sacrifice. Again and again, we are reminded of how the more important tree of the cross was climbed for us. And how, in love and compassion, our divine Redeemer Jesus opened up his arms to all creation and bore the guilt and sin of the world. And as he did, proclaimed, "Today, you will be with me in paradise." So that, gathered in buildings, we may hear him say, "Today, salvation has come to this house." As the waters and word are moved and splashed and received, as bread and wine are brought forward as body and blood of Christ, received in our own mouths, as words of forgiveness and absolution, as prayers for peace abound, and as praises ring throughout the cosmos, now all God's people everywhere might know the beauty of the particularity of God's mercy and grace directed to you, for you. It was not Zacchaeus, "Get your act together before you come on up in here." It was Zacchaeus, "Let me get you together so that you may go out there and remember the poor and remember the cheated and remember those whose lives are even more difficult than yours. Get up on out of yourself. Come on down from that tree and stand renewed and forgiven in resurrection, glory, and power and proclaim, 'Today salvation has come to this house.' It has come to the people of God, of this congregation, for many, many years. And it has come in profound ways as we celebrate the 95th anniversary of the dedication of this building. Standing tall, on behalf of all who feel short, all whose tempers are short, all whose resources seem short, all who think opportunity is short, all who feel their dreams have been dashed and cut short, all of those whose livelihoods are cut short. My friends, this altar brings us into the future and allows us to gaze at Jesus, hallelujah, and doing so, hear him say, "I'm coming to your place. I'm coming to you. I'm meeting you where you are." And your life and the lives of those around you will never be the same. Oh, salvation, today salvation has come to this house. As people gathered in another facility for decades before this was even built, today salvation has come to this house, echoed in 1973 when people filled with Jesus' body and blood, named St. Matthew, came and became a part of this beautiful congregation so that together we may proclaim, red, brown, yellow, black, and white, all are precious in God's sight. We can get over ourselves. And with prophetic boldness and love and compassion, receive the same means of grace, celebrate the same forgiveness of sins, be filled with the same Spirit of the living God, and proclaim salvation comes to Baltimore. Dedicated with the theme of confessing Christ of the Augsburg Confession at the 400th anniversary of the promulgation of that document, that confession is quite clear. We are saved by God's grace through faith on account of Jesus the Christ. We are rescued, we are carried, we are delivered, we are held, we are loved. Not because we're pretty, not because we're wealthy, not because we're entitled, not because we deserve it, but because of God's incredible love for us. Undeserved. And yet, thanks be to God, He brings it. It is here, then, at this gate of heaven, that today salvation comes again for you. Through a word, in a meal, and promulgated throughout the world. Today, salvation has come to this house. Yes, Jesus is here. The one who is the Lord of lords and King of kings, the ruler of all things, seen and unseen. He is in our midst, and He is rescuing so that this house may be a place where He hears the prayers of His children. Solomon reminded us of it earlier, remember? So that when we pray here, You, O Lord, would hear. And when You hear, You will forgive. You will forgive our basic need met here at every Eucharist, met here with every word of absolution, met here and now, salvation, healing, and love for you. Oh, friends, in a world where we often feel shortchanged, and we don't feel that we can see far, and where we may feel that even those around us either don't notice us or just get in our way, today, salvation has come to this house. For God has called this to be a house of prayer for all people. Tall as that belfry may be, this strong tower with 18 bells with Bible verses on them, ring that which we sing, and that which we pray, that chief of sinners though I be, Jesus shed His blood for me. He died that I might live on high. He lives that I might never die. As the branch is to the vine, I am His, and He is mine. All by grace. All for free. All for you. For my friends, when He transforms us, baptized in His death and resurrection, when He feeds us His body and blood, and when He visits us in this house, and we stand with Zacchaeus and say, I'm going to give. I'm going to share. I'm going to make sure others have. Then the world gets a glimpse of what the evangelist and apostle shared with us as well. In Baltimore, I see a new heaven. In Baltimore, I see a new earth. And the former things have passed away. For there'll be no more crying, no more pain. But it'll be the Lamb and His kingdom and His children living together, serving together, sharing together, waiting for His return in glory. Sisters and brothers in Christ, today, salvation has come to this house. Glory be to God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Having heard God's word, let us stand and confess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God,